We continue the Shir in Sichei Soran, Seif Reish Tes Vav, paragraph 215. Final word about Reish Hashanah. Benazal said that with me, the Iker, the main thing is Reish Hashanah. Main thing means, as far as time is concerned, time means throughout the entire year. Everything that occurs during the year, all these special events, the holidays that are involved, of all of them, the main thing, the central focal point is Rosh Hashanah. Therefore, as soon as Rosh Hashanah is over, as soon as it ends, Rabbi Nadal says, then I bend over to listen carefully, waiting to hear the sound of the shamus, one who serves, that goes around knocking on doors, to awaken people to get up for slichas. Before the Shoshanah, they get up for slichas. The custom then, the shamans would wake people up in the middle of the night to go to slichas. So as soon as the Shoshanah is over, I'm alerted for the sound of the Jews going to daven to slichas, because there is no such thing as time. There is no time. Time flies by like the wink of an eye. The whole life is like the blink of an eye. And surely the year itself. So since there is no time at all, it counts, and the whole year revolves around the focal point, which is Rosh Hashanah. Therefore, all time means nothing. When Rosh Hashanah ends, I wait momentarily for the next Rosh Hashanah to begin. Which means, of course, again, that the main thing is Rosh Hashanah. But then, as I said, Iker is a person to be Zeche, come together, Abenazal's minion, wherever it is, together as a breast of a minion, that's where Abenazal is, and that's where a person receives the greatest possible ticket. Now, the next paragraph we enter into, again, a discussion on the dangers of Chakira, of philosophy, the Rahman al-Islam. We note that Abenazal spoke about this more than any other topic, because it is the exact opposite of emunah, faith. Philosophy and chakira is synonymous with kefira, atheism. Benazal said you must stay away from, as far as possible, from the study or discussions of philosophy. Pointing out to the Al-Sheikh HaKodesh, Al-Sheikh HaKodesh was Chaim Vitalzal's first Rebbe. Al-Sheikh HaKodesh writes about this item, about the dangers of philosophy too, how this chakira, this philosophy, this chakira, has a cunning, conniving, scheming way how to draw people into it. Because the discussions of philosophy are such that they speak with a very soft tongue, as though they want to help the person truly. They really want to help the person. There's a sweetness about the way they speak, a honey-covered tongue, drawing the person to them magnetically with a desire to really be of assistance. Actually, beneath the surface, there is this poison, this venom, this death-dealing information which can actually destroy a person's neshama, chas v'shalom. Also, I quote, it says that this is comparable to a zina, Rahman al-Islam. Illicit women and prostitutes who made up to lure an unsuspecting victim or a suspecting one, but to lure one who would ordinarily not have thought about this, and to draw him into the worst type of sin possible, Rahman al-Islam, by using the different wiles and tricks that they are endowed with. Benazal says that there's also brought the proof. These philosophers bring proof to their theories, to their poisonous theories. Where do they draw their proof from? From psukim, sentences in the Tzedak Dishah. Now, how can they bring proof to their false theories from the Tzedak? Because the Tzedak itself, the Gemara says, is called sam. It is a medicine, but it's two kinds of medicine. It's a sam chayim and a sum of life, and the sum of the opposite of life. Depending upon the person who studies the Torah, a tzaddik studies the Torah, he derives from it the medicine of life. A dosha can study the same words of Torah, and who wants to be misled, he can draw from the Torah inference to the opposite of true emunah. Therefore, these are bikursim, these machakrim, these philosophers, use the Torah Kedesha as their base, which to lure victims, those who mean well, who are naive, and by leading them on with words of Torah, they think they're being drawn into what is good and what is holy. Instead, they're being dragged down to an abyss, to a pit, a bottomless pit of tumah and kefira, rahmanu l'tzlan. Therefore, the Menadol says it is useless, it is futile to discuss faith with them, with these philosophers. There is no use speaking to them. You can never sway them. Therefore, the only advice is, stay away from these philosophers. Stay away from their writings, because you can never convince them, you can never persuade them to leave their false beliefs. You can only be harmed, chas v'sholom. As we've mentioned many times, the study, reading their books, no matter who wrote them, even if written by great abonim of the past, it is absolutely forbidden to read those books on philosophy. They are called a one-way ticket to Gehenna, point of no return. Menadol said, too, was brought one of the statements of philosophy. Of course, we prefer not to repeat their words, but this is one that is brought by the Menadol, quotes them, for a purpose, a very clear purpose, to show how false they are. They base the false premise, on a pasuk in the Torah which says, V'yadata hayayim, you shall know today, you should know that Hashem is Hashem. They say from there, it shows proof that you have to know Hashem, which means you have to delve into the study to find out, to learn about Hashem, to get to know Hashem. It says with faith, if you have data hayim, you should know. It doesn't say you should believe, it says you should know. This is what they base it on. Benel says how false and foolish and idiotic that statement is. Truth is completely the opposite. Because a person is supposed to know Hashem, yes. How can you know Hashem? Could a person really know Hashem? Is it possible for a physical being to know Hashem who is infinite? Can a person have a grasping knowledge of something which is infinite, ain't safe? That which is far above human conception. To know Hashem means through emunah. The answer is the wording here means know of Hashem through emunah. Nosses on the Kutei Halachos writes about this, gives a mashal. For example, a king issues decree, an order, that every person in his kingdom should know there is a ruler over him. There is a monarch whose orders they must obey. Know that there is a ruler over you. That's all. You don't have to see him, you just have to know about the fact that he is there. The same thing too, each person should review this constantly. Da es Hashem. There's a pasuk which is actually Da es Hashem. Know Hashem. Know means to know of Hashem. Every day, be aware of the fact that Hashem exists. Review this constantly in your mind. How? Know Hashem through emunah. A person must remind himself always of the Zikoron Kedusha. Zikoron Kedusha means a memory to remind oneself of Kedusha, that Hashem is the creator, that there is a tachlis, there is a goal, there is an Elam Habra, there is Chavi Enish, there is reward and punishment, and that there is Ashkocha Prati, that Hashem sees all that is going on. Know of this only through emunah. If your emunah is solid, that means you know of Hashem, this will give you an immunity against sin. person is aware of the existence of Hashem, if someone is strong, then he will avoid falling into a pitfall of the Yetzirah and sin. Will be rescued from the Yetzirah, from Tivus, and this will give him a protection throughout life. But this knowing of Hashem is possible only through Emunah. Greatest protection, shield that one can have against all evil is through Emunah. The person who has Emunah is one who knows of Hashem. This is what the Pasuk means, and of course, any other statements to delve into Chakir, study physically, Chas V'Shalom, logically, to go into logic about Hashem is the greatest disrespect, greatest arrogance, and the greatest poisonous act a person can commit. So no matter who that philosopher is, who interprets the word meaning that, can only lead a person to his doom. A person should avoid that. Know that he should live his life with Emunah, fulfill the Torah with Emunah. The entire Torah is based purely upon Emunah. All the commands of Hashem are based on Emunah, as the Pasuk says, Kol mitzvos secha Emunah. All mitzvos of Hashem are what? Emunah, faith, belief. You cannot fulfill the command of Hashem because you can never fulfill really that which Hashem wants. Which person can rise to that height? Hashem says, I know you're not big enough to perform it. All I ask of you is that which you could do, and that is, Emunah, do it with faith. Give it all the faith you have. Then it's considered as though you actually fulfill the command of Hashem. And as though mocked, derided, the machakrim, in this case, I mean a scientist. You know, held the scientists in very, very low esteem. Scientists then, this of course dates back to close to 200 years ago, scientists who claimed they had delved into their study of science with their instruments, with their advanced knowledge, they claimed that there is a civilization on the moon. There is civilized life, not necessarily human, but there is vegetation. There are living things on the moon, just as there is on the planet Earth. Because they had developed powerful telescopes, they were able to see what seemed like trees, other living things existing on the moon. Benedel said that was very stupid of their part to say this. Shows how little these scientists know. Because what they see that seems to resemble trees, vegetation, or civilization is simply a mirror. The moon's surface is like a mirror. Looking at the moon from a distance, what you see there is a mirror reflection of the Earth. Therefore, they saw that which was reflecting the Earth itself. They got the images of civilization or life. The fact is that they speak very foolishly. They utter words of worthlessness. And the fact is that there is nothing of anything like on Earth, nothing on the moon that resembles anything on Earth. There is absolutely no life of any kind, either animal life, human life, of course not, no animal life, leave any kind of vegetation on the moon. This was a Benazal statement. Notice, as we said, this was said close to 200 years ago. Benazal made this statement without the use of any telescope, without the use of any satellites, and so on, without spaceships of any kind, just with the knowledge that Tzaddik has. Benazal, since the Benazal was great enough to know what was doing in heaven, in the heavens, in the upper heavens, which are infinitely further and deeper, much greater than anything in this, our sphere, our universe. So of course the moon itself, the planet the moon, is nothing as far as knowing what it's like. Benazal knew the moon simply and easily. The Gemara says about Shmuel, who knew the planetary solar system as clearly as he knew these streets around the house where he lived, in his own community. Benedel said then something which scientists knew nothing about. He stated simply that scientists were wrong. The same thing, though, would hold true today. Compared to what scientists know today, what they think they know, surely it is nothing compared to Avinazel. If scientists claim that they took one small step on the moon, or a few small steps, then that's just those few small steps. Avinazel knew everything about the moon there is to know, the physical aspect completely through and through, plus, of course, the spiritual aspect too. So that today also, Avinazel deriding the scientists would definitely be pointed at today's scientists also. Today's scientists who think they have advanced to a point where they now know what the moon is of course, again, Hevel Yiftzeh Pihem. They speak air, nothingness. They know nothing about the moon, nothing about what is doing above this earth, because they really know nothing about this earth either. This planet Earth, too, is Tela al-Balimor. It also is suspended. It hangs by a thread. What holds this planet up? A mysterious magnetic force? What is that magnetic force? Someone stands outside the Earth with a big horseshoe? What keeps this planet suspended in midair, balanced on nothing? Something which is this heavy. The planet is pretty heavy. It's too heavy for one to carry on his shoulders. So these scientists, in truth, know absolutely nothing about the Earth itself, and surely cannot advance to a height knowing about the moon and so forth. The Minadol says that as much as they know, that if they do know, they would know only about the physical aspect, which is the tiniest drop compared to the Ruchnius. What keeps this world going? Just as a person has an neshama, without that the person is dead, so too there is something spiritual that keeps this world in existence, that keeps the world moving, that keeps everything revolving, not the earth itself, chas v'shalom, the earth is stationary. It keeps the functions of this earth revolving, or you have night and day, and you have seasons, you have the sun and the moon revolving around the earth. All the items that take place, I'm reluctant to use the word nature, because nature actually is still an act of Hashem. Nature, teva b'gimatri elikim. A teva, the word nature, is b'gimatri Hashem elikim, which means that Hashem is the one that conducts the natural aspects, natural functions of this planet, this earth too, as well as naturally the rest of creation. So of this, the scientists know nothing because they are kafir. They are atheists. They do not believe in a heavenly being, a creator that creates, conducts as mashkiach, supervises everything that happens. They have very false notions about creation itself, about evolution, about the age of the earth. All that is sheer kafira, atheism, which leads them to eternal Gehenna for their disbelief. So that when we speak about the moon today also, we must say very emphatically that the scientists who think that they have solved the riddle of the moon, they know what the moon is, the fact is they know nothing. They know nothing, they have learned nothing, and they will never know anything about it. All they can get to, they can only reach their final goal is to reach the grave. That's as far as they can go. You know, beyond that, they will never have gained anything because all their studies and all their learning is based on kefida against belief in Hashem, which means self-destruction. As far as the moon is concerned, the words that have been apply to all times, for all time. The moon, as Abinazel said, is a barren area, barren of any type of life. There is no question, it requires no further study of anyone to see whether there is life on the moon of any kind. There cannot be found life because Abinazel, who knows the moon, said there isn't any. But note that he said this hundreds of years ago, nearly 200 years ago, before there were any kind of spaceships or other kind of orbiting processes reaching outer space. So that any information that we have, contrary to Benazol's word, must be false. Benazol's word is the only one that is true, the word of the Tzadik Gemes. Now, for that reason, because of the fact that Benazol said this so strongly about the falseness of scientists in reference to the moon, we try to avoid this topic, but for the sake of posterity, we would like to state as a personal opinion, which very rarely ever injected, and of course, why go out on a limb to state something personal? Still, it's for personal reasons. In other words, I would like to have this recorded on my own record, satisfied with this, as the Gemara says, it's worth being called a fool, even as long as it strengthens your emunah. My own personal belief, solid belief, emunah, is that the scientists know nothing about the moon. As far as having touched the moon, there are grave doubts in general. As far as I'm concerned, no non-Jewish hand or foot or small step could have touched the Levona, which itself is a symbol of Kedusha. The Levona, the moon, is the symbol of the Shekhinah. It stands for the Shekhinah. It is the key to Kedusha of the Jews. It is also synonymous with the Jewish people. Rise and decline of the moon's surface, the area that is visible, and the fact that the moon stands for, Levona stands for the word Lamed Beis and Sivus Chokhmah, which is the beginning of degree of Chokhmah. It is Malchus, which means Emunah, but from which begins the degree of Chokhmah. Things that are that sacred and that holy and that heavenly cannot be touched by the tumor of these scientists, Machakrim, Goyim, or whoever they are. Therefore, regardless of what others say, regardless of what so-called scientific tummy proof they bring, I feel that never will a non-Jew or any Machakir, any atheist, ever be able to touch the moon at all. This I believe implicitly. Regardless of what criticism may be voiced, plus the fact, of course, that we speak about the moon, we say Kiddush Levona, we speak of the moon as something that is ineffable, cannot be touched, cannot be reached. And so it will remain until Mashiach comes, when the stars, any moon too, as one of the stars, will strike down all the enemies of the Jews, as well as the Kefirim, the Afikursim, the non-believers who have desecrated its Kedusha. The Divrei Elokim Chayim, words of Hashem, are one. The Emes is one. Divrei Elokim Chayim, nothing else says, Rosh Tevis Echod, words of Hashem are one. One is the truth. The truth is only by Hashem and by Tzadik and Mitzir. Everything else is false, and we follow the truth exclusively. Be'emunah Shleimah. Benazel, the last years of his life, suffered from tuberculosis, lung illness. He went to the city of Lemberg allegedly for the sake of cure. Allegedly, that was not his purpose. He went there for a much higher reason. He came back the last 2 years of his life when he was suffering. He devoted his time, his effort, most of his discussions to strengthen Muna, the hearts and minds of his Talmidim, and to destroy the element of Chakira, philosophy. His favorite saying was, Ashreinu, how fortunate we are that we received the Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the agent that got the Torah from Hashem, delivered it to us. And the Torah begins with the words, Bereishis Bara Elokim, which means very simple faith. No philosophy. In the beginning, Hashem created the heavens and the earth, and that's it. No question about evolution or how or what. Simply, Hashem created the heavens and the earth. We go on from there. This is what's meant by true emunah. Ben Israel stressed constantly that every word of the Torah is emunah. The pasuk says, "Kol mitzvah secha emunah." Every word of the Torah is mitzvah of Hashem, and every mitzvah is based upon emunah. The truth is emunah and nothing else. A person can live with the Torah by simply having emunah in every word of the Torah. Believe every word of the Torah is the word of Hashem. That is the yesod of our emunah. Because once we have that emunah solidly, then a person can never be swayed by a philosopher. Whatever anyone else says contrary to the Torah, we know that that is false. Torah is the word of Hashem. Hashem's word is what rules. Ben Israel once said, "I'll reveal a secret to you." Very sad secret. Come a time that apikorsus, a very large measure of apikorsus of atheism, will cover the world. It will descend from above. It will come from heaven. The Baldova, the Sultan himself, will bring down this heavy blanket of apikorsus over the world. For what purpose? For the sake of nisoyan, test. Test to weed out the good from the bad. Separate those who are truly loyal to Hashem with true faith and those who are wavering, those who are disloyal. It will be a very difficult battle. And I know, that those who are close to me, those who listen to me, listen to my words, those who heed my warning, will remain solidly attached. They will not be shaken by this wave of apikorsus. But how pitiful it is, how sad it is to think that how such a small number will have to stand up solidly, bravely, against the whole world that will be filled with philosophy and chakira. Now this, the Ben Israel said, I'm letting you know in advance. And he saw you in generally a test. It's something which comes to a person without warning. Then it's a test. A person to be told, you're now going to have a test of faith, it's not really a test. So Ben Israel said, in this case, I'm telling you in advance, there's a test of emunah coming up, despite the fact I'm revealing that there is a test coming up, it'll still be difficult to pass this test. You'll find that the majority of people will fail. Kornel Islam. It'll be a very serious test. Ashrei to those who remain closely attached, remain solid against the wave of the courses which will fill the world so that you'll find, as we see today, speaking about this generation, we find that even among the most learned, most religious, when there are discourses, discussions about religion and faith, there are constantly quotations coming from philosophers, philosophy books, books of philosophy written by Goyim or Lahakul by Jewish philosophers, as though that is part of their education, part of their learning. That is the poison that seeps into their hearts and creates the havoc among these many victims who are unaware of the fact they have failed the test. The test is to stay away from this philosophy discussion or study whatsoever, have no contact with the people who preach philosophy or discuss it, have no contact with their writings. Don't study it, don't read it, don't try to defeat them in a discussion. You cannot persuade them, you can only lose. The best thing is to keep your mind pure, clear, clean of any knowledge about philosophy. Ben Israel also mocked what we call the Farmer's Almanac, a special calendar which predicts the weather for the year. The Farmer's Almanac prints a calendar in which they write the weather for the entire year. storms, rainstorms, snow, cold waves, heat waves. They predict this for periods of time. Benazal mocked them. He said that what is cute about it is that, after all, even if they knew nothing, they should be right half of the time. Law of averages, you say things yes and no, hot or cold, they should be right half of the time if they knew nothing. They claim they know a lot. How come that they're wrong most of the time? Amazing that they are wrong. They tell you that these days it'll be hot, those days it's cold. These days it'll be sunshine, it's raining. They say it's raining, there is sunshine. Everything that majority of cases is the opposite of what they say. Because the fact is that it's impossible for them to really predict the weather that far in advance. They can't even predict the weather in the immediate future. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mishana Itim. Hashem changes the time so that you can have sunshine and rain in the same day. You can have cold for a period of time and then warm. A sudden change in temperature. So that there's no way that they can really predict the weather. Now this, of course, was said close to 200 years ago. There were no satellites, weather satellites. There were no instruments. There were no ways of detecting the cloud formations, the winds, and so on. Today, science has advanced tremendously. They now have different types of instruments. They now have knowledge about the cloud formations. They have contact with different cities. They know about what's going on, where the winds are coming from, where storms develop, and so forth. So today, they're not like the old days. Today they make big mistakes instead of small mistakes. Nowadays they really put their feet in their mouth every time they predict the weather. You find that if you notice, if you ever try to, people don't bother, but try to write down when you hear the weather predictions, especially long range weather predictions for 4 or 5 days in advance, write it down. Now, that day comes, people forget, so they figure they must have been right. But you'll find that in most cases, again, majority of cases, they are wrong. They are wrong because of the fact that Benazal says, "Me'oid omko machshavei sov." The weather is an act of Hashem. It is the plan of Hashem. The plan of Hashem is so deep, so far from the human mind, the human conception, that the scientists, with all their knowledge, with all their instrumentations, cannot understand the plan of Hashem in changing Mishana Itim, changing the weather patterns. Therefore, just as then, today too, Weather Bureau knows very, very little. They themselves are forced to admit it, because more than half of the cases, more than 50%, the Weather Bureau issues a statement. They will say the revised Weather Bureau prediction is revised. Why revised? They must admit themselves that there is something wrong with their previous prediction. They didn't look out of the window and see what's doing clearly. And of course, if they say that they will be completely sunny, very sunny, no question whatsoever, there is still a precipitation possibility of 10%. Try to define what that means. 10% precipitation possibility. Now that is completely illogical, and this could be stated only to, you hate to say, to morons who would accept something like that, a statement like that. Or at least it comes from morons. What we know is that the Benazal's words are chayim v'kayomim. They are alive and they are eternal. What was true then is true to this very day. Benazal mocked them. The same mockery can be made of their predictions to this day. All their instruments and all their drawings, all their patterns, weather patterns, with the space satellites, and with the knowing about cloud formations, they still know nothing about the plan of Hashem changing the weather, climate, different places and different areas, which is ever changing. No one can ever fathom the will of Hashem. Therefore, it is foolish folly for them to attempt it. But again, it's because of their extreme degree of gaiva. They consider themselves so knowledgeable that they can tell what the weather is. They feel it'll come a time where they will not only know what the weather is, but they'll determine what the weather will be too. They will determine what kind of weather there will be. Of course, again, Hevel Yiftzat Pihem, this is all due to the gaiva of Kefirim. Atheists do not believe in Hashem, do not believe in a supreme power who guides and directs everything in this earth, the world itself, the weather in it, everything that occurs in it. Ashrenu that we have this knowledge from Tzadik Emes, strengthen us in true Emunah. He said the Bein Hazal's main directive, his attention was given to instilling the highest degree of Emunah in his followers. One time, there was one of his followers who cried about the fact that he had trouble with Emunah. He had confusion in his mind, doubts that would come up. He tried to shake these doubts off, but they gave him a lot of trouble. He suffered with them. He came to Rabbeinu Zal crying as to how could he, what could he do about it? To strengthen his emunah, not to be pained by having these skepticism that would flit through his mind. Rabbeinu Zal said to this person, in order to strengthen him, that know that this is healthy, because this is one of the purposes, one of the reasons that Hashem created the world. Hashem created the world, everything in it, and the human being too, in order that there be this battle between the person and his mind, between Emunah and Kefira. This is the kaviyachal, the pleasure in heaven. Hashem sees a person doing battle against the Yetzirah, against the Satan, against Kefira. Even though the person receives a blow, even though he's weakened sometimes, it is still much better for a person to have this battle than to have no Yetzirah at all, to have no doubts whatsoever, to have no trouble, and being serving Hashem like a robot. This is what Hashem wants, to have a person be created, come to this world, do battle, and to strengthen himself to fight for Emunah. Pasuk says, Kol ma'asehu be'emunah. All creation of Hashem, every act of creation by Hashem, was made purely for the sake of Emunah. To have Emunah be the basis, the yesod, the foundation for all Jews to live by. But you cannot get it that simply. You've got to fight for it, you've got to battle for it. You'll have a lot of opposition, you'll have a lot of obstacles come up, you'll have a lot of people or instances that will inject or attempt to inject doubts, Chas v'Shalom. And of course, doubt is the worst item possible. Suffolk is the opposite of Emunah. Vaday, positiveness is Hashem. Suffolk, doubt, is the yesod of the klipos, tumos, amolik, gemati amolik. This is what Hashem created the world for, everything, for the sake of this battle, and for the sake of seeing a Jew win out. Therefore, Rabbeinu Zal strengthened this person and said to him, don't take it so much to heart. You feel that you're suffering because of these doubts, but you're fighting it, good. I know that you're really serving Hashem. That's why Hashem created the world. You're taking part in the motive, kaviyochol, motive, the will of Hashem in the entire creation. And know that if you battle long enough, you must win out in the end. You must be victorious if you do battle. All you have to do is just do battle and you're victorious. This is what the Nosazal says, quoting the Zayde Kodesh. Zayde Kodesh says, Ma Natsach, Ma Neachas Kreva, Moni Kreva Biyode. Who is the one that is victorious? He who holds the weapons in his hand, he who holds the sword, the spear in his hand, he is the victor. Nelson Zal asks, how is that a victor? If a soldier holds a sword in his hand, how does that make him a victor? How can he be victorious if he's going out to battle? Soldiers get killed. The answer is this sword is the sword of Emunah. As long as a person fights this battle, just fighting it alone, he must win. This is all that Hashem asks of a person. Take this sword in your hand, go fearlessly into battle. You go into battle, I'll be with you. If you are cowardly and stand back and refuse to do battle, you must be destroyed. But if you hold a sword in your hand, pick up the sword, go into battle against the Yitzhara, against the Satan, against the Kefrem, against the Epikursim, the Chakrem, just by taking the sword into your hand, you have already won the battle because then Hashem is with you. Once you take up the sword in your hand, you have done your task. Fight this battle. Hashem guarantees you victory. So, Manotzach, who is the victor? He who holds a sword in his hand. Because that's his requirement for battle, nothing more. Victory is yours because Hashem will see to it that you win out. Therefore, the men will say that since that's the Ikkar purpose of creation, Ikkar is for a Jew to do battle against Kfida. That's all that's necessary to strengthen himself in Emunah, and he's sure to win out. Then, as I went a step further, he said that as far as the lack of Emunah is concerned, as far as Chakida, philosophy, is concerned, then we have cases of great Jewish philosophers, or great Jewish authors, or great Talmidei Chachamim of the past, who wrote commentaries on the Tanakh Desha, but using philosophy as a base. Ben Adol said those mafarshim, those commentaries, are not to be looked at, not to be studied, not to be learned at all. Even though they were great Talmidei Chachamim, they were leading luminaries of the Jews in those days, still as long as they based their writings on philosophy too, everything they said is not to be studied. Now, in that case, then, what should a person do if he wants to learn Chumash? He wants to learn Tanakh. He wants to learn Gemara. If we're going to ban a number of those, many of those Mefoshim, what should a person study? Ben Adol said, how fortunate we are that we have Rashi HaKodesh. Rashi HaKodesh is the greatest commentary and the most accepted commentary, both on Tedesh Biksav and Tedesh Vapeh, the Chumash, the Navi, and the Gemara, because Rashi HaKodesh has nothing to do with any kind of philosophy. He goes directly according to the pure, true path of Emunah and the Tzedek Desha itself. And therefore, a person can actually live with Rashi HaKodesh alone, if necessary, as a commentary. Of course, you have other Mefarshim who are not commentaries. They are Mefarshim who delve, like the Achleinim, who go into Pilpul. That's not considered commentaries. Commentaries, they explain Pshat, those are the ones that are dangerous. And there, Rashi HaKodesh alone is enough. Chumash, Navi, you have a lot of Mefarshim that should be avoided because they use philosophy as a cue, as a key, to explain the stories in the Teda, the logic, Chas V'Shalom, according to philosophy. Therefore, it is enough if we have Rashi HaKodesh alone. Same thing, too, with Chumash and Navi. And in Gemara, also, we use Rashi HaKodesh as the key. Rashi HaKodesh is, Rabbeinu Noah calls Rashi HaKodesh the brother of the Torah, because he goes together with Torah so closely that they are inseparable. A person cannot learn Torah without Rashi HaKodesh. That's why it's important that whenever we speak of Rashi HaKodesh, we use the word Rashi HaKodesh. Always add the word HaKodesh, because his writings were pure Ruach HaKodesh. The proof is that every person, smallest child, begins to learn Torah, Chumash, Navi, Gemara, to the eldest, all learn Torah with Rashi HaKodesh. This In this we see proof of the greatness of Bashezal. That's why a person has what to learn Torah with. Avoid even the Gedolim who wrote with philosophy. Avoid their writings. Stay only on a path that is pure and emunah. We should be zecher to accept the words of the Torah Akdosha with simplicity, pshitas, emunah. Follow the words of Abinazel to stand strong, stand fast against any of the opposition and the ways that, because they come out now, and the schus of this amuna, and also that those few who remain solidly will be able to.